It's the series finale of WandaVision, titled The Series Finale. And this is not our series finale, but I still am Jerry Bennett.
And I'm Joel Bennett.
But I haven't said what the name of the show was yet. So this is the Bennett Brothers podcast for the Marvel show, WandaVision, the series finale. Now Joel can jump back in.
And I'm still Joel Bennett. Yes. See how I brought it back? That's great. Thank you for joining us yet again as we talk about WandaVision on Disney+. We're going to talk about this final episode here, talk about everything about it, spoil the heck out of it. So hope you saw it. Hope you are looking forward to a good conversation. If you are, I don't know why you're listening to us. Yes, that's what I. Yes, but we're gonna talk about this season.
Bidding Ching was by the way, that was a villain in the Star Wars universe.
Oh man, Bidding Ching.
Like Fennec Cheng.
So we're gonna talk about this episode and get our opinions and our thoughts and get the series as kind of a whole and talk about that. And it is a mystery show, so we're gonna talk about some of the mysteries we thought. What we thought and what we didn't think and what we got right and what we got wrong, all sorts of stuff. Jerry, do you have anything to add before we dive right in? Because I know that's what people are waiting for.
No.
All right. We're going to dive right in. This episode is directed by who? Like I said.
Bidding Ching.
Like we said last week, it's directed by Matt Shakman. Like we guessed last week, Matt Shakman. Scoop confirmed, Jerry.
Oh, God.
It is directed by him. Yes, it is.
That's your new nickname, Scoop Confirmed.
Scoop Confirmed.
It was also the name you had when you worked at Baskin-Robbins.
What about all the things you got wrong? Let's not worry about those. Don't look at that. Okay, so let's dive right in the episode. We start off episode.
No. I'm going to ask a question, Joel. What did you think of this episode?
Oh. Huh. Well, Jerry, that's a great question. I liked it. It's a great episode. It's a great episode. Hell of a lot of action. I think there was one thing that's very off-putting to me, which we'll get to. There are some things that may not have necessarily gotten answers in a mystery show that bothers me a little bit as I have been for the past, I don't know how many years, 7-8 years since Lost ended. I've had a problem.
78 years, that's right.
I've had a problem with one scene not getting answered. And it's going to bother me till the day I die.
Who was on the outrigger?
Who's on the damn outrigger? Oh, wait, you don't want to answer that question, Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof? You bastards. All right. So not every question got an answer, but that doesn't mean we're not going to get answers to some of these questions because we haven't had any interviews with director Matt Shakman or the writers or any of the people within the series who can give us some sort of definitive answers to, or even in future movies. So we may still get answers. But overall, this is primo television. This is not even television. This is movie-worthy action and drama, and the whole experience has been great. But this episode in particular was great. Your thoughts?
It was a good episode. There was obviously moments of disappointment in here, some of them imposed by too much time to think about it, but I don't really hold that against the show. I don't, you know, because I knew that could be a possibility going. But there are definitely at least two or three pieces in here that I was like, you need to go a little farther on this for this episode. But overall, another great episode. Not my favorite of the series. I thought this was a really good ending for our main characters, or the ending so far. I liked it. But it definitely has got some stuff to talk about, and we'll see how I feel after we get into the points of this.
All right.
Take it away.
Here we go. So we start where the episode ended last week. Agatha and Wanda, they're having a big standoff, and they're fighting. There's a lot of fighting in this, so I'm going to skip over most of the fighting. But
speaking of skipping over, do you think we should skip over when we watch these shows the previously on? Because if you overanalyze these things, which we do as doing a podcast, when they do stuff like previously on, and if you watch enough television, like we do, it kind of starts to, even though it didn't happen this time, I'm shocked it didn't. I know it can happen. When we see in the previously on and they show the part where she says, you know, the runes mean another witch can't use her powers here. Did that, and you, I know that's happened to you in the past because I know it's happened to me, where all of a sudden you're like, well, clearly that's going to come into play this episode. Now, it didn't happen for me in this episode until it was happening. But after I thought about it, after watching it a second time, I'm like, oh my God, thank God I didn't focus on that this time. Because normally I do.
That's a great question. There's pros and cons, I think. I have given up most of the time watching the next time on. If there is a next time on released on the internet, or for most shows, I tend to avoid that and just kind of enjoy the show as it comes along. Now, trailers for movies, a little bit different. We've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. But the conversation about previously on, you're right that it can spoil things coming up in the episode, but sometimes previously ons, when they're done right, especially in a show that's been going on for 5 or 6 seasons, when it goes, hey, remember this thing that happened in season 2? And now we're in season 5.
Well, now we're totally going to spoil it for you because it's being done again in this episode.
It might not even be a big spoiler, but it's a reminder like, hey, remember this storyline that we haven't talked about in, you know, 3 seasons? We might follow it up in this episode.
Or well, we you might obviously will. You obviously will. That's exactly
and sometimes,
it.
Sometimes that's okay.
It's got me thinking about it when I realized on the second viewing that I happened to not get spoiled by that part of the story, which was a reveal in the story. So you're like, what's going to happen? I'm just wondering.
You know what it is, though? I also think the previously on comes at you so quickly that you don't have time to process it.
But normally we do.
Analyze it, go, I wonder if
I'm
this is going to be
that I didn't get it, didn't wreck it for me this time.
No, we normally don't. We don't pause after previously on and go,
no,
I wonder what I just saw. Let me think about all my theories.
I do. I say that all the time, honestly. I'm like, you know, like, oh, well, that's coming back in this episode.
Also, let me point out here, because we had talked about in previous episodes, this is going to be, I wouldn't say a lot of us eating crow in this episode, but it's a lot of well, that didn't mean anything.
Not me.
The fact that she changed her voice every time she said previously on.
There's no crow eating. We acknowledged it.
Well, we acknowledged it, but it was like, did this mean something big and grand?
I didn't say that. I said acknowledged it.
Well, no, you talked about how she got more depressed with every episode.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I thought that was subjective. I think you thought she was sounding more depressed every episode because you thought she
should
because
be. I thought the character was getting more depressed every episode. I think it still correlates.
So this last one, she should be crying.
Well, I don't know where your depression level goes to crying. I don't jump to crying.
She was depressed in like the third. She sounded sadder in the third one. She already hit rock bottom. Like,
I disagree.
I think it's just a matter of her saying it differently.
I think because of the way she was losing control of her powers as it went on and on and on. To your point being of quote unquote eating crow, I'm like, point something out. I think that happened. It correlates there. And at the end, she's going to eating crow would be saying at the end she's going to cry in the last one, and then she didn't.
This leads to a bigger thing about what fans' expectations were. Like you mentioned, we had a lot of time to analyze these in between episodes, so people are throwing out Mephisto, and people are throwing out Nightmare, and people are throwing out all these theories, or we're going to get a big cameo at the end. The cameo one's funny because...
That's BS, and we'll talk about that at the end.
That was a clickbait thing.
It was not him making the joke, it was her making the statement.
She didn't make the statement.
She made the statement.
There was a news article company that came out and said Elizabeth Olsen says there is a Luke Skywalker like cameo at the end of this.
So
she never said that though. She never said that. That was a clickbait title made by like Deadline or something like that. She never actually said that.
All right, I'm looking it up here. It's like Elizabeth Olsen teases its own Luke Skywalker moment. TV line. Asked if WandaVision would also have its own Luke Skywalker moment, lead star Elizabeth Olsen quickly answered yes, revealing that she's really excited for fans to see it soon.
That's not what she said, though.
I'm just reading it.
You're reading the original article.
No, I'm going to comingsoon.net. Now I'm going to go back to the TV line moment where TV line asked her that question. Yeah, it's a leading question, but she responded with it. She responded, yes. When asked if WandaVision has anything... Okay, so let me back up a couple sections. So they were talking... The Mandalorian stunned viewers with Mark Hamill's... So they were talking with her about the Luke Skywalker appearance. And then when asked if WandaVision has anything similar in store, namely a casting that she can't believe hasn't leaked yet, Olsen gave us a quick yes. And though she dared not offer any specifics, she did share with a laugh that I'm really excited for viewers... Okay, yeah, I'm really excited. So,
and you know who it was? It was Pietro. It was Peter. Because she did that interview before. Were we too smart for the show, or is the show got like things hidden in it? Are we giving the show too much credit, or are we not? I want to kind of dive into that just a little bit when
we'll get later on.
Yes. So Agatha is absorbing all of Wanda's energy. That's her mission. That's her goal, is to get all of the Scarlet Witch's energy. there's a moment here where Wanda hits her with a car, which is very reminiscent of Civil War, which I enjoyed that. And then they had an obvious nod to Wizard of Oz here, where we get to see just her boots. Under the car. It was her boots. I guess she's not wearing boots the rest of the episode. I didn't pay attention to that afterwards. And then out of nowhere, White Vision shows up.
He's the first to arrive. We don't know how he got through the gate. We don't know how he beat Vision. That. We don't know how he beat Darcy, but he's the first to arrive.
I don't know how he beat Vision. He beat Darcy, but I don't know how he beat Vision.
Even though they were inside.
Exactly. The White Vision, though, our Vision, you know, Hex Vision, is able to push through the hex and walk out until he starts getting hit. I think the White Vision can do the same thing. He can push his way in, but he doesn't get separated because he's adamantium.
He's vibranium.
I mean, that yes, vibranium. Son of a... I've been watching the X-Men movies. That's how I think White Vision got in. Would you buy that? Do you think that's...
I don't know. I mean, I have to buy it. It just didn't happen. Didn't show it. It's not a big deal. I'm just pointing it out.
No, so I'm giving it because I had that question listed, like, how did he get into the hex? He forced his way in, the same way Vision forced his way out. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking happened. So he walks up to her, and then he grabs her head and then starts cracking it.
And yeah, we hear bone-crunching sound effects. So clearly, when he starts doing this, parts of her cheekbone and or skull has fractures in it because they chose to put in cracking sounds. Squeeze your head as hard as you can right now. I just want to hear you do it. It's like, you know, I mean, geez, Louise. Oh, no. It's like, you know, when Superman, when he grabs General Zod's hand in Superman 2 and he's like cracking it. It's like, holy crap. He's just pulling. That's really good.
Yeah, I think the sound effect was a bit much.
I mean, it was like, well, I just wanted to have results of that. Like, you know, holy moly.
I guess they were trying to figure out how to show that without her saying something or him. Like, can we make a squishing sound? Like, it's okay.
It's a silly thing, but I did notice it. I was like, oh my God, he's crushing her skull. And it's, you know, Jesus.
All right, now something we can probably both agree, and we're not going to spend too much time talking about the details of it, but the Vision fighting the Vision was spectacular television.
Yeah.
Spectacular. Luckily, they didn't close a door and fight behind a door. So,
while this fight was going on, a centimeter and a half's worth of glass from a window was keeping Monica from the fight. She couldn't get through that glass. Hey!
Was she going to punch through it?
Hey, guys! I can't get through the glass.
It could be enchanted too. I don't know, maybe. No, probably not. But she's hanging out with Pietro, who still has a super speed, and we'll talk about him in a little bit.
He not only fast, but he's powerful. He just touched her and sent her flying.
Well, he has super speed, which gives him super power too, doesn't it?
My point is, you can't blow past that because he does his super speed. But he also has the power to touch you with his finger and send you flying. And that's if you ask anybody, like, hey, name all of the super speed powers somebody would have, no one's going to say, also when you touch someone with a finger, they go flying backwards.
Yes.
I'm just saying it was a cool effect, but it was like, oh, okay, wow.
But in the, to give a counterpoint, in the X-Men Dark Phoenix, no, not X-Men Dark Phoenix.
You want to say
Apocalypse.
Okay.
When he's getting all the people out of the building, he's able to throw them hundreds of yards. So, I mean, him just flicking his finger and sending her backwards a yard or two, like, that seems capable of him.
Yeah, okay.
Just as a speed person. I mean, obviously, that's not established in the MCU. But so, Jimmy Woo, he's brought to Hayward in handcuffs, which is important for me for a theory I have later on.
he sees somebody's phone conveniently ringing. We don't know whose phone that is, just sitting there. So as soon as he notices it, no one else notices it ring. He, does a sleight of hand to grab it.
Because he's a magician.
While the director is giving his evil speech.
Yes, he explains his plan, what he plans on doing, how this vision is. He's going to fool the world, and this is another vision, I guess. Back inside the hex, the delivery man.
You haven't got to go past the fact that... Jimmy then undoes the handcuffs he grabbed a pin that we didn't see him grab, and then he throws the handcuffs off and says, flourish, and then he makes a phone call on said phone to get the FBI there within an hour.
Yes, he calls a guy named Cliff. Is Cliff going to be someone? No, Cliff will not be anyone.
Cliff Secord from The Rocketeer.
Cliff will not be anyone, the same way as Monica's guy turned out to be Major Goodard. Okay.
Yeah, I also liked in the Vision fight when the other Vision went to grab tried to do the Thanos grab on the head and he phased through. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, the phasing powers. I love it.
So Wanda's in the middle of town where everyone's at. Everyone, but we don't get to see a Mr. Hart. Whatever happened to Mr. Hart? Remember Mr. Hart?
We haven't seen him since the first episode.
No,
we've seen Mrs. Hart two times. But yeah, that's fine. I mean, we didn't see Dottie except for one other small scene in between the second episode and here.
Well, we didn't see Herb after he did his mind. We saw Herb in the Halloween, and then we didn't. We only get to see these people 3, 4, 5 episodes. You know, briefly in those episodes. Yeah. It's not like they're huge characters. But I'm just pointing out Mr. Hart, and I have a theory on that when I get to it. By the way,
that's going to be later. We saw the Presto delivery truck.
That was the delivery guy who goes, "I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot me," or "Don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger." Is that his inner self coming out and be like, "Please don't hurt me. I'm just driving through to what I'm supposed to."
I guess if you consider that when someone says okie dokie or artichoke, they also consider him an artichoke. I guess that's the same thought process on that. Because that's how I took it. It's just a cute little line that they say.
Yeah, but they got to be seeing. They got to be aware. They're not aware that she just flew in and landed. They're scared of her, right?
Well, Herb talks about that. He's like, he was trying to fight him, and now he doesn't know why he was trying to fight her. And that was because we know it was Agatha who did it back then. In the Agatha All Along scene, we see her zap him, which then made him try to break through because that was all an act that she was doing.
We get a mention of the Darkhold for the first time. That book we saw earlier turns out to be the Darkhold, which, do we want to talk about it now?
Well, yeah. I mean, the only thing that was really major, other than we learn about the Darkhold, and we know that that is one of many magic books in the Marvel comic book universe, but it's the big one, and the reason it's any issue that we're even talking about it was because it was a prop that was used multiple times in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series with a different cover and a different look to it, and consequently, not that books can't change their shape and look, and you can always just write a line of dialogue saying it's the same thing.
Well, they but let me back that up real fast. In Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., depending on what your native reading language is, it changes based on what you want to see.
Yeah, but right now the appearance is being taken by people online saying this is just yet another way of saying that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not part of the universe, and it's not really that definitive, and we don't know where the book came from at this point. So,
and let's also add that it's not just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's Runaways, which was an MCU or a Marvel show on Hulu, which dealt with the Darkhold. Morgan Le Fay dealt with it, and that was some good stuff, too. So that would be great if
it was good stuff,
in.
But it does feel lesser than the cinematic scope we're seeing in this TV series. It does. It just feels like, as much as I like those Marvel shows, including the Netflix shows, they all do not have, and maybe it's money, maybe it's totally down to money, but like the money and the look that this first Marvel show, and what definitely we've seen trailers for the next ones, this looks like a movie, and the other shows look like really good TV shows. But again, we said this before. I don't think there's, as much as I love the Marvel TV shows and I really love them, none of them ever looked like Westworld or Game of Thrones or this show. They just don't.
Yeah. No, I agree with
money.
That.
Maybe it's
I
money.
I agree with that, but I also say Thor and Incredible Hulk and all those don't compare to the later Marvel movies of like Avengers Endgame or Infinity War or Ragnarok.
I think they all have a cinematic look to them.
Well, because they're movies and they're shot like movies.
This show is shot like a movie.
Yeah.
Even when it's shot like a TV show,
The show had a budget $25 million.
I know. I'm not complaining with that. I'm talking about what you just said, how the early movies don't compare, and I think that's wrong. I think they do compare.
But I don't think they spent the same amount. They don't spend the same amount of money on the early Marvel films that they do on the later Marvel films.
But they spend enough on it that they look better than any of the other TV shows that this show does.
But I'm saying they look similar.
That's all I'm talking
about.
There
are moments.
I'm just talking about
look. If you go back to our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast and listen to the times we talk about the special effects and we say movie quality special effects.
Yeah, but look what I'm saying. I'm saying the look of the show. Looks like a movie. Marvel TV shows don't look like a movie. They may have movie special effects here and there, but they don't look the same as this does. This looks different. If you hold up Morgan Le Fay on Runaways, I mean, she does a fine job, but it's like, it doesn't look quite the same. It looks like a really nice TV show. It doesn't look like a movie.
That goes down to budget.
Exactly. I don't know why you're fighting me on this.
But to then say, you know, it's not, because it doesn't look like it, therefore it shouldn't be a part of the MCU.
I didn't say that. I said this looks different. I never said it shouldn't be part of anything.
But you're like, it would be a shame. Then why were you even bringing, yes, it looks different. Yes, it looks different. The early Thor with his fake beard looks different than now Thor, who's been much more jacked and all that.
We're looking at the Darkhold book. If you look at the Darkhold book, the one in the other show that had the words Darkhold written on it, that looked really cheap.
I agree.
I think we talked about that at the time. Yeah,
too.
And here's one that doesn't look, and that's just made me think back to the look of these shows. I mean, it's the cinematic look. And again, I know we said you can't compare a 22 or even an 18 episode series compared to a 9 or half hour show that's on with a budget that is more than probably 2 seasons worth of S.H.I.E.L.D. Just making an observation about the look. Okay. And every time I do that, I think you always feel like I'm dumping on Marvel TV shows that you have to defend them. And it's like, I'm not talking about the story or the acting. I'm just, you know, like when I walk away from it, I'm like, oh my God, that was a movie.
Yes. This obviously ups the ante in television shows, the same way Mandalorian did. The same way if we look back in TV, you know, Sopranos up the storytelling ante.
Think about that episode right before Winter Soldier, where the episode ends, and then the end credit scene is the first few is the Nick Fury scene from Winter Soldier when he's on the road.
Remember, we're watching
that, and we're like, oh my God! And then we kind of like halfway through, we're like, this is from the movie. Yeah. This is way, and we acknowledged it. We're like, this is, I mean, everything about it was like, this is somebody who didn't have to do this in a week, didn't have to edit this in a week, didn't have to cinematography in a week. It was like, that was the difference. So that's all.
Yes.
It's clear we both have completely different opinions. I clearly hate Marvel TV.
This is just one of the, again, I don't know how smart the show is being, and I don't know if there's any connection to television. We're just talking about the Darkhold, something we've been talking about for years because it's in the other Marvel TV shows. But we still have no connect if they exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So
this Darkhold has a whole chapter devoted to Wanda,
and it also mentions the Sorcerer Supreme.
It mentions it, or did she said it? I mean, was
no.
She,
it says the book she, mentions that he, you're more.
Oh, it does say the book mentions. Okay, yeah. All right, good.
And then to prove that Wanda's out of control,
she wakens Dottie.
She wakens Dottie, so Dottie's mind is free, and
Dottie's
walks
real name
up.
Is Sarah. And we learn it's something else.
Yes,
she says Sarah, but the end credits in one of them actually gives a name, and that's actually based on somebody who was someone who was during the Salem witch trials. And people online are trying to make a connection to that. And I just listened this morning to an interview with Emma Caulfield, and she's like, I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that. You know, I haven't heard anything about that. But, you know, she does never say never. She has no, you know, knowledge of that. But yeah, the real Sarah whatever, this is from the Salem witch trials.
Sarah Proctor.
Yes.
Sarah Proctor. So Wanda has trapped her daughter in her room, and she hasn't seen her daughter in a long time, which makes Wanda look like a monster.
Yeah, they awaken the other townsfolk.
And then she gets confronted by, they start moving in on her like a mob, starting to swarm her. Let's also point out that, you know, Dottie, I mean, she could be something in later episodes. This could be the origin story of her being a villain.
But also, there is no later episodes.
I mean, in movies or something like this. So it could be an origin story for one of these people becoming villains.
And my opinion is that, although that could happen, very well likely could happen, that would shock me. I think she's done.
Yes, I think she's done too. And she turned out to be a red herring.
Yes. And some of that's on us. I don't really put this one on the show. The show never came out and said, special guest star Emma Caulfield. It was we, as a community, there's something with this Dottie.
I don't think I ever went down that rabbit hole of her being the devil or anything like that.
Well, the devil's in the details and the videos we watched.
The devil, the three women, because it's three women on the
road. Oh, yeah, it's all out there. We jumped at everything.
I did not jump at that one.
You didn't say none of this was. No, I'm not saying.
I said it was possible.
Okay, listen, I'm not talking about us, you and me. I'm talking about everybody. These were all the things we did. People jumped on this. I didn't come up with this. I'm like, oh, this is what's out there, too. They're talking about different theories, lost the way we did Lost. We're like, oh, that's a theory. That's a theory. I didn't remember dismissing many or endorsing many. They were all just ones that we were. For example, I told you last week that the other podcast I was listening to said that they weren't going to interview Emma Caulfield until next week because that's what they were recommended. And then when I told you that, you went, ooh, that, you know, now maybe she does have something. Yeah, I'm not saying you admitted to it. I'm saying that you were like, oh, maybe she does have something because we're all built up and what we're thinking these characters could be because we have the weeks in between to do it.
You did see the cameo that did happen, though, right? The big one?
Go ahead.
The Invisible Woman was in it the whole time?
Jesus.
Sue Storm was in it the whole time.
Where did you get this? What are you doing?
Different than the internet. I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, no Mephisto, no Al Pacino, no Reed Richards, none of that.
Yeah, and I don't hold the show on any of that. That was just us and us collectively. Of the human race, we're doing that. But you know, let's go to fake Pietro in his man cave, and we find out that his real name, just like Mike Seaver's good friend on Growing Pains, is Ralph Boner. He's an actor.
Yeah, she finds a young headshot of his. Just to finish the scene up, she figures out that his powers are given to him by Agatha through a necklace.
For some reason, he doesn't fight her this time or touch her with a finger, so she's able to just flip him over.
Maybe it's because he's being portrayed as an idiot. But this is Ralph. This is the Ralph.
She uses her spectrum powers to see that the necklace is giving off the power, so she takes it off.
Yeah, so this is the Ralph that Agatha was casually mentioning as her husband and all that.
This was the Ralph that Jimmy Woo was going there because he is the witness protection because he actually is, in fact, Pietro from the other universe, and they've placed him in this town because they don't know why he was bleeding through from another universe. And they've given him a silly name called Ralph Boner. That's why when Pietro hears it, he's like, Boner.
Yes, I will agree with that. I think he is the witness protection program person.
And
I don't know.
You agree that he's Quicksilver Pietro?
I don't know if he's Quicksilver Pietro.
The latest rumor on a website that you and I check
Scoop
out
confirmed.
Was that he is, in fact, going to be in Doctor Strange 2. And that's a fairly good source saying that, which means his storyline, which is, I think is personally, is the one that's a little on the show's fault, even though the show doesn't have to end it here because it's really part of a three-part trilogy with Spider-Man and with Doctor Strange 2. I think that they did set that up and then they decided to do a Boner joke at the end. And that one I had an issue with, but it may pay off. Yes. In the movie if he does come back, which it sounds like he will.
Yes. Jerry and I mentioned this briefly after watching it together. This
was the biggest problem.
We hope this isn't just stunt casting. We hope this isn't just them going, hey, we can cast this person. We hope there is a bigger plan for it. It did not play out in this TV show. All the talk of X-Men, all the talk of mutants, all of that, it did not play out in this. We'll see if it comes to play. This leads me to my other thought that I had written down. I guess this is a good place to ask it. Are these shows designed to, if you haven't watched WandaVision, do you think you can continue watching all the Marvel movies and not miss anything really important?
Of course.
So these TV shows
aren't... There's people who only watch the Avengers movies, and they don't walk out of there going, huh. They go, all right, I can't wait to watch the next Avenger movie. Tons of people do that. Millions, probably. And they skip over Thor and or Cap. We know people who have never seen certain films in between, and that's a full film that I would say you would believe is completely
required Captain America's, watching. You know? Captain America Civil War, if you don't watch that, you're going to be... Yeah.
Which everybody calls Avengers 2.5, but I mean, you picked the one that combines the most Avengers, but if you have people going, oh, I mean, think about it. If you had never watched Black Panther, but you had watched Captain America Civil War, and then you went to Avengers Endgame, you'd be like, oh, okay, that was that place that he left at the end of that movie, and now he's here.
Yes.
So that's my point. My point answering your question is, although they won't get the full effect, they can absolutely continue watching, and people will do that. No one.
I'm wondering if there is. And we'll see. I mean, this is just a question that I had in my head. Will there be ever anything of consequence in this show that we watch that will affect future movies? You know, I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, I definitely, absolutely think it will. And I think a line or two of dialogue is all you got to do. And you have a little flashback or you have something like that. It's fine. This one had a ton of flash forward, sideways for the Avengers movies that we saw all those little moments. And they had lines of description that told us it, so that if someone's watching this who never watched Avengers Endgame could go, okay, I guess that's the purple guy, whatever. All right,
I did have a friend ask me if she's
again, we're talking
watched,
about the biggest movie of all time.
Yeah, I had a friend ask me if she's not really hasn't really seen much many Marvel movies or any of them, can she start with WandaVision? I was like, I don't know. What are you doing? Like, you could watch WandaVision, I guess, without ever watching a Marvel movie, but seems
you're
like
always so surprised. I know people who will just fly past people that we know really well who are like, oh, you know, they won't catch this show, but they'll watch the next show or they'll catch one movie. And they're like, yeah, okay. Cause they don't obsess on it. They're like, all right,
my thought is, I don't screw them. If this TV show or movies cater to that audience, I want stuff that caters to the people who are dedicated. Imagine watching like, oh, I didn't see the first Lord of the Rings, but I saw the second one. Like, would you be able to even follow?
Again, I think you're picking the part one, part two, part three. I think you could watch easily. I think you could jump into Harry Potter 3 without seeing the first two and go, all right, I get it. I'm following along. And
could
I think
you,
there
could you jump
it.
Into Harry Potter like 6 the, and 7?
Again, that's a little more extreme.
But that's what we're talking about here. If you want to talk about it,
that has Harry Potter part in the name. This doesn't have Marvel's, you know, part 23 in the name.
Okay, I'm trying to think about. There's obviously nothing out there in the world. You're
saying screw that. You'd rather have them just do this for people who are dedicated. As soon as they do those things, you're the first one who goes back and says, "I think they need to make how's a new person going to watch this?" So, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about that. This is going to get to a point where I'm watching all of WandaVision, and we just watched all the MCU movies. This will get to a point where I'm like, oh man, to rewatch all this stuff again is such a commitment. 10 years of watching things again, and I will have to do that at some point with kids, so it's crazy. Okay, back into the episode here.
So the kids, the boys.
Well, I thought the crowd stuff here was really good.
Well, the boys are the next scene. The boys, you know, we go from fake Pietro to we see that the boys are in there and they're watching this and they realize that they have to come to the rescue. So they leave.
Okay.
And then we get to the town part.
Yes. The crowd stuff here I thought was really good.
We have your nightmares. We feel your pain,
yeah.
He said.
Yeah.
So then she decides to choke the whole town.
Yeah, she chokes the whole town. She's like not she feels really bad for what she did.
Sorry.
She opens up the town. She's going to open up the hex because that all the townspeople can get out.
Because Agatha says the great statement, heroes don't torture people. Which I'm like, yep, that's saying it right there. Mm-hmm. It's like, how do you get away from that statement?
Because she opens up the hex, this allows Hayward and his people to come.
Yeah, that's
in.
All this does. She goes, leave, everybody leaves. And then so they run like about 20 feet.
They're there at the end of the episode.
The whole scene here is designed, well, it's designed to show the consequence to her family, but it also is just like, and now everybody can get in. Not Jimmy Woo. He didn't run fast enough. Everybody else, the bad guys, apparently.
Jimmy Woo was pretty far. Well, I don't know how he got so far away, but.
No, he was right there. But whatever.
Okay.
But the fact is he. What we're guessing the entire sword complex, or at least people who are loyal to him, or that's a whole. The HR is going to have to get involved with this and what's going on with Sword, and because we already seen other divisions of Sword who are responding to Monica, and it's obviously they're not going to go the route of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they've done in the movies where S.H.I.E.L.D. was totally corrupt because. They're not going to do that.
Well,
they didn't introduce Sword just to wipe it out.
This leads into a bit. We'll talk about Hayward in a bit here at the end. So the team gets in, right? Because she's opening the hex, though, Vision and actually an audible gasp here, the boys also are being torn apart.
You're seeing pieces come off them like puzzle pieces, which is very reminiscent of Marvel comic book that would have been House of M comic book, where the cover image has Wanda's face there, but pieces are coming flying off her like a puzzle. So it was very...
And we've seen this previously when Vision was trying to leave the hex and he was getting pulled back in.
Yeah, but that was like a chunks of him. This was little...
This was the exact same effect. This was the exact same effect.
Okay. But
I did make an audible gasp here when the kids... Because at this point, we didn't know if the kids were real or part of the hex. We kind of knew, but we didn't. Because she couldn't control them. They were created through her. Like, so we didn't really know if they were part real or part not, but it turns out they are all part of the hex. And so it's devastating to see that after her getting so close and realizing, uh-oh, this isn't good for, you know, if Vision ain't making it, the boys ain't making it.
Yeah, well, also, they don't have, you know, the DNA to make them whatever they are real, because since she created Vision, Vision's part of her. Technically, she was, you know, self-pleasuring herself to get pregnant. Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. So
and she self-pleasured herself through pregnancy, too. That's
baby!
We get a great moment here where there's going to be a bunch of fighting, so this team gets in their superhero pose.
It was the Incredibles pose is what a lot of people thought, yeah.
Vision fights Vision.
Well, we get guns. Guns are there now, so guns have entered this, so look out. Guns are here.
Everybody's got a gun.
Yes, but we do get the great line when Vision says to the boys, it's like, we never taught you how to do this, and then Monica gets to say, but you were born for it, which was badass.
Yeah, so Vision fights Vision in the library with the candlestick. No, and then they get into sort of a mental thought experiment standoff.
Well, his directive is to destroy the Vision that he's been programmed to do.
Yes. The boys are going to handle the military. Billy freezes them all. Tommy runs around and grabs all their guns and stuff. I don't think he grabs their guns because they have their guns later on. They're still holding them.
Maybe they went and picked them up.
But he also grabs one of their hats, which I thought was a nice little nod.
Hat and glasses from Quicksilver in the
Days of Future Past.
Correct, actually. Very good, yeah. And so then Wanda saves the agents too before this because she shows her hero sign because Agatha was going to kill him.
And then Hayward, who didn't get affected by the time stopping, hops out of his Humvee and goes to shoot at the kids, and this is when Monica steps in and uses her powers, which she doesn't really know how to use yet, so this is all instinctual. She is able to stop almost all the bullets. There's one bullet that gets through, and Billy's able to stop that bullet, which was a nice little scene. Nice little scene here. So Hayward then tries to escape. He hops in the Humvee, and then the Humvee gets crashed into by Darcy. She says her one line of the episode, "Have fun in prison."
You want to know what I think about this?
Yes, tell me.
Okay, first off, we do know that they had to stop filming this for COVID reasons. They went back to filming this. Her scene in the car could easily have been shot in a blue screen, whatever, and they just put that in there because she's not in the end of this episode. Yeah, exactly.
They don't need a whole blue screen.
Well said,
yes.
Because we're going to blue screen in an entire van, but that whole scene was. And it becomes very obvious for the end credit scene when she's not there and they're like, she had to go because she was filming something else somewhere or she didn't show up. So that's what it
Thor
felt like.
That's not started filming yet. So, oh, no, it has, yes, but not at the end of this.
I don't even know if she's in it.
I mean, it could be COVID quarantine. This is also what I figured happened to Mr. Hart because they're like, and he probably was like, and I'm done. I don't want to get COVID. I can't be around this. Potentially. I don't know. But it seems like COVID is a good excuse for not seeing people.
Well, this would be a good time to bring up what I was telling Joel earlier about, is they've confirmed that there was a deleted scene that was filmed, although they didn't finish the special effects, but it involves a bunch of characters. So this was filmed, this scene here. So there's a whole sequence where Darcy, Monica, and Ralph meet up with the two kids, and then they go into Agatha's house, and they think maybe that they should steal the Darkhold. So she crashes there, and then they decide to go all this. And then they go down to get to the book, and then reaching for the book, the rabbit hops up in front of the book. They reach over to pat him, and he hisses, and then this whole American Werewolf in London transformation happens, and there's this big demon with Agatha's familiar. And then the description here says, Goonies set piece ensues as they try to escape from the rabbit. So that would explain why. Where was Darcy at this whole time? Where was Pietro at this whole time? And how did the Darkhold book get to where it is? So there was a whole scene. I think that's a pretty significant sequence that, yes, it did able to get slipped right out. But the fact that they filmed it is, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Senior Scratchy is, he's still out there in the world and he could still be a demon. The Westview Vision, he is then in the conversation, they have a whole
The ship of Theseus.
Ship of Theseus, thank you. Theseus's boat, they get into that. We're not going to get into the whole, you watch the show, so you've heard the whole theory. He is able to free White Vision's memories.
He gives him the data.
And we get to see a bunch of shots. I walked through it, nothing important, but it's a bunch of shots from the movies.
I wonder if he also gives him, and we'll obviously find out at some point, does he give him the memories he has that he's made in this universe where he's the father. So will he have those feelings and everything at that point?
Interesting. I know he doesn't.
His eyes turn normal after this.
I don't think Westview Vision gives White Vision. Well, we know he doesn't. He's not giving him memories. He's unlocking his memories that are stored in him, because the Vision in Westview doesn't have those memories. He's been told what happened, but he doesn't actually have those memories.
That's actually a really good point. So,
and there's an interesting point when he's touching the blue stone on his head, or the blue gem or whatever that is.
It does turn yellow.
Yeah, it does turn yellow. Not sure what that means.
That's the Mind Stone part of it being activated, or coming from the Mind Stone created Vision, giving him that. That's how he's doing it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Vision's eyes return back to normal, although I did like his eyes. I think I was going to say contacts, but it's clearly computer generated.
Yeah, I was also watching the second time when they're looking back and forth. He has this curl on his lip when he's the White Vision that is just enough to give him this sinister look. Because I'm like, he's not really like scowling or anything like that, but he's got just this lip, this curl on his mouth that's like, it's just enough of Paul Bettany doing this. Like, he looks mean or mad or something. It's really subtle. And
I know. I think we talked about this last podcast. This was Paul Bettany trolling us when he said he gets to work with an actor he's always wanted to work with. He's actually come out and said, like, that was just him trolling everyone. He gets to work with himself.
Yeah. But the Vision says, I am Vision. And then he's like, but I'm not going to go out there and help Wanda because I love it. So he takes off because, honestly, we couldn't deal with it. So he's got to go deal with that. So clearly, Paul Bettany will be back as the Vision.
But when, Jerry? Is this going to be like 2-3 years from now that he's going to be back? Like, when are we going to get an answer to this question? I don't think we're going to get it anytime soon.
I have no idea.
Unless Doctor Who? Doctor Strange. I don't see Vision coming back anytime soon. But we'll see what happens. It's exciting.
So the boys come running up to him and we hear him say, boys, 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 boys. And it sounds so weird. I listened to it twice. It's like, I had to go, was that him saying it? He did not sound like the Vision. He says boys 4 times. It's weird.
Wanda is able to take Agatha back to Salem.
Using her mind manipulation trick that she had last done in Age of Ultron.
Yes. There's a great moment in this scene where Wanda tells Agatha the difference between the two of them is that Agatha did it on purpose. And I thought I think that's very important, is that even though Wanda did some terrible things to people, like tortured them, kidnapped them, it was all, she's mentally ill, right? It was all something that she did through grief and because she didn't know what she was doing. I think that's important because she's in a real gray place right now. And I know Jerry definitely comes from the corporate side of this looking, going, you can't let that nuclear weapon just be walking around and we have to trust it. It's the same with the Hulk. Like, you can't just have this person walking around.
Tricky.
We need to keep tabs on this person.
Who watches the Watchmen, Joel?
Oh, I know.
It comes down to
the Sokovia Accords, right?
But who decides what the Sokovia Accords say?
Well, the government, which should be a mandate of the people.
Anyways, you seen the people? They're morons. They're morons.
Damn muties. Wanda, then, and Agatha, they come back through. Did you want to say anything else about Salem?
Only that the nightmare turns on Wanda, and then Wanda gets her crown or her costume headpiece first forms here. That's all.
When they're back in Westview, we have this great battle here where Wanda is pretending or distracting
giving
her
the power.
Her powers, but also missing her and like, what is she doing?
It's very reminiscent, though, when Take the Power, I was like, it's the Hulk movie, the first one where like, you want my power? Take it all! And he's giving all that power to Nick Nolte and he's like, it's too much! It's too much! Reggie Valentine!
Get the big dogs! Get the big dogs!
It's Nick Nolte.
He doesn't even say his name.
That's what he does.
But she's creating ruins at this time. Onto the hex, onto the wall. Very, very clever. This is how she's going to defeat Agatha, because Agatha can't use her powers inside the runes. Wanda then reabsorbs all the power she sent out into
Agatha. I don't know if you noticed that one of the runes looked just like the symbol of pi. It did. And then the other one was clearly the symbol of the artist formerly known as Prince. It was one of them that was weird.
Cake. It was nice of Wanda to not let Agatha fall to her death after she took her powers away, because she can't cast any spells. So.
And she gets her comic accurate costume. I mean, it's pretty
I'm saying this was nice of Agatha to not let, or it's nice of Wanda to not let Agatha just fall.
Yes.
She lets her down hard later on. Yes, Wanda gets her comic accurate outfit.
And then Agatha makes the first of two statements. She says, "You don't know what you've done."
Yep.
And then later on, she says, "You've no idea what you've unleashed. You don't know what the sequel is going to be.
You're going to need my help."
Yeah, you're going to need
me. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
But no, they're going to lock. She's going to lock her up somewhere. She's like, "Right here, you're going to be taking the role of the nosy neighbor, who apparently will have a house or be homeless during this whole time."
Yeah, she's because they're going to let her get a job in Westview. Like,
yeah, well,
because these people really want her to work there, you know.
Okie dokie, artichoke.
But a fun little moment here, fun little Easter egg, I guess. She keeps the brooch. The brooch that was her mother, she's still wearing it when she gets turned into the nosy neighbor.
That is the thing that keeps her young. It's the center of her powers.
Yeah, maybe.
And maybe. Vision really acknowledges, like, "Oh, I'm sure you're going to set everything right, just not for us."
Yeah.
And then the hex starts shrinking as they walk back. It's nighttime all of a sudden, and they put the boys to bed.
No, well, Jerry, it's nighttime in the hex.
Yeah, I know.
Outside the hex, it's daytime.
Absolutely.
So she is making this nighttime.
So that the family can go. Yeah, family is forever, we're told.
She says goodnight. They say goodnight and goodbye to the kids.
The great line, though, she goes, "Boys, thank you for choosing me to be your mom."
Are we going to look deep into that? Is that just a sweet line?
It could be, or it could be the spirits that whatever her children are, you know, they made, you know, how a metaphor. They chose, yeah, they chosen to be there. So, yeah, it's a great line.
I think the only thing that was, I don't know how to take is, if this moment is so tender, wouldn't you want to be there with your kids all the way through to the end?
As they're disintegrating in front of you and they're going, "Mom, Dad, what's going on?" Maybe like the fact that they put them in bed and they go to sleep, because we see them do that.
Them fall asleep?
Well, when they close the room, I watched a second time. The kid's head's on the pillow and his eyes are closing and he thinks it's nighttime even though his body, but you know. So yeah, I think you got to let that go.
I know. I mean,
the show's not called WandaVision and Two Kids. It's called WandaVision. We want to see
that.
But
it's also a family, and
And then they put the kids to bed.
They do have that moment.
You got to let it go. Also, you got to let it go. You're going to dwell on it.
But she hangs out with Vision and watches him get disintegrated. So,
you got to let it go.
They can make it a beautiful thing. I'm just saying, for me,
I get it.
You know,
you got to let it go.
Or for anybody, I'm not even a parent, but if I had kids, you'd want to be there.
Well, that's a parent.
That being said, she's only known these kids for like 3 days.
Exactly. So you gotta let go. So Vision, he learns that he is actually a piece of the Mind Stone that lives in her. He is her sadness, her hope, and her love. And we see this tear run down his face. One tear, which I thought was pretty good.
It was awesome. Before that happens, there is a family photo with all four of them. And in the background of that photo, there is a picture of a lake. Is it the lake from the end? I don't know. But it's interesting that they're standing in front of it.
Okay. It's a picture in a picture?
It is a picture in a picture.
And since we're watching on TV, it's a picture in a picture in a picture.
Oh my God.
Mind blown.
Yeah, so Wanda and Vision say their goodbyes.
And he makes the statement, "I had a voice with no body, a body with no human, and then you made me real, and who knows what I'll be next?"
Well, no, you didn't make me real. You made a memory real.
Yeah, yeah. But the fact that he says a voice with no body is referencing when he was Jarvis.
Yes.
And the fact that he leaves, you know, he says, "What, I'll be next, and then we'll see you again, or I'll see you, you know, say hello again." Yeah. I want to say hello, but my spell correcting here says, "We'll say yellow again."
Yellow!
So I'm like, why is it yellow? It's the Mind Stone. What am I talking about here?
Yellow.
And he says, "So long, darling."
And so the house disappears. It's the foundation again.
She walks through town. It's daytime. She goes there so everybody can look at her, and she's got to wear her hood on.
Hey, weren't you supposed to leave town? Like, I guess they didn't want to leave town.
Where are we going to go? We're just going to have to get the other town. Like, all right, everybody head back in.
The outskirts of town are so far away.
I got to walk back. So she goes up to Monica. Monica makes the statement, "They'll never know what you sacrificed for them."
And I did have an issue. Again, I got to let it go, but an issue I'm bringing up anyways. Shouldn't Dottie, be running to her house to get her kid who's been trapped in a room since he was, you know, for a long time, but she's just wandering the middle of town? Wouldn't that be the first thing you do? I guess, unless she doesn't remember her kid or something, there's more to it than that. That's just a small thing.
So you want all these people to just be running there, and you wouldn't.
Some of these people have kids, and they haven't seen them.
So what do you do? So as a storyteller, do you go like, do you see that, and then do people at home going, "Well, where are those running to? Well, we better see. So we have to film this." You know that.
No.
You said it yourself at the beginning of your statement. You've got to let it go.
We didn't need to see all the main extras in the town at the end staring at her. Right? You could have had a couple of them.
For the 20 seconds that this scene took place, I think 20 seconds is fine.
Yeah, well, you could have had just a couple
because
of them.
Because I think you're right. I think they would go running for their kids, and they go, here comes Wanda again. Maybe they sat there and looked at her because they're like, is she going to do it all again? They wanted to see what she was going to do. I think there's your out.
Okay, no, that's good. Thank you for giving me an answer or a theory other than going, you got to let it go. You just got to let it go.
Well, you said it first.
Wanda's accent is back.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
I didn't really notice that.
No, it's okay, yeah, she has her accent back. It's not as thick as it was, but it is back.
Yeah. Monica said she'd bring her mom back too if she had the power.
Yes. And Wanda says she's going to learn about her power.
I don't understand this power, but I will.
Yes. And that is when we know
the FBI arrives.
Yep, we go to the credit scene.
She flies away, which I want to comment here real fast about her flying away. And I noticed through all of the flying in here, this is the quality of the movie quality in this show is not just when they're flying in the air, but like when people take off and then they land. Now, sometimes shows can do it where they go and they take off really fast. And that's a really nice, cool way to do it.
Hero started that.
But this show does it where they kind of just take off. And anytime you've ever seen this, even in movies sometimes, definitely in movies, when they do this, there's always like, as soon as they leave the ground, their body does, even if it's minuscule, you see that little bit of a, oh, I'm on wires, my feet are moving a little bit. This, you know, the timing is not perfect. It's like, oh, this looks like there are definitely wires on a real person dealing with gravity shifting. And I never felt that in any of these scenes. When they took off and used their powers, it always feels... Oh, that's exactly how I envision it.
Or when they land and they come down fast and it's all of a sudden slow because gravity's weird.
Yeah. I think they did it perfectly.
The flying there, I thought Agatha hovering the whole time looked like a witch in the sky. Like, it was really, it was creepy in a sense. And I thought that was really portrayed well. Yeah, they did the flying great. So the credit sequences.
Mid-credit first.
The FBI are around town. Jimmy Woo is handling things.
He's
mentioned
in charge.
Darcy is gone.
Haywood's
and
arrested.
Hayward is arrested
by the FBI.
Yes, for what?
The fact that he had imprisoned an FBI agent.
No, he arrested him.
Yeah, and now they're arresting him. Why did he arrest Jimmy Woo?
Because Jimmy Woo is interfering with his.
But Jimmy Woo has the FBI have precedent. They're the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Do you think some sort of NASA division?
Sword? I don't know if Sword is Shield is over FBI. I guess
it would come down to that's something that can happen in the courts. But the fact that FBI is there and they go like, "Hey, this guy over in this division just arrested an FBI agent doing his job." They could easily do the exact same thing right back to him. So you're saying for what? In addition to obviously we know why, because he was doing things wrong. And Jimmy actually goes, it's like if they were doing an investigation on him, Jimmy's like, he says like, well, they're never going to find out because they don't know that I have the, remember back when he was giving his evil director plan and he was telling all of that to Jimmy? Jimmy's like, thank you for giving me this information. Now I can say we're going to prosecute you. Take him away. Let his lawyer fight him out.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, because he gives his evil plan.
He shot at children in front of all of them.
The children, well, first of all, Monica jumped in front of those bullets.
And he kept shooting.
Those children, according to him, are just figments of
according
Scarlet
to him,
Witch
yeah, but
with,
he could
with
be
nuclear,
he could be
nuclear powers, and so he was trying to put them down.
By igniting them and blowing up the town, that would be the argument, if he's got nuclear powers. I thought these pieces of metal I shot into him would take care of the problems. Why are we doing this? Stop.
Well, no, because I think Hayward's an interesting case here because, you know, he was a bad guy, but from his point of view, which is I love this when bad guys aren't bad guys from their point of view, they're heroes. Like, he's going, I went through a lot of stuff when the snap happened. I don't want to go through that again, so I'm trying to contain and get rid of this
power.
So you're
saying he's not
Mephisto.
So
I'm using
Mephisto.
Vision. I'm using this vision that we created. Yes, I'm going against his living will or his will. That is wrong, but I'm creating this deterrent, the same thing that Tony Stark did, and I'm going to create this deterrent to try to fight Scarlet Witch, who's enslaved and choked and kept these people from their kids for, you know, giving them nightmares. They want to die. I'm going to go in there and stop her because she is a threat. Right? And so from his point of view, he's doing
everything. If it was his point of view, he would have been working in conjunction with somebody and not against them and saying, nobody will know. They'll only see what I want them to see.
Well,
he says that.
But he also...
They'll only see the one vision.
Monica was always like, This isn't Wanda's fault.
Why did he not get in touch with the regular? Why didn't he tell Monica that he was doing that with the drone? Why didn't he keep Jimmy Woo and the FBI and cops? So then he's guilty. So he didn't have to. That your argument falls apart right there. If he doesn't have to do it,
why doesn't Tony Stark have to tell the government what he's doing?
Because Tony Stark's not an elected official.
Hayward's not an elected official.
Well, he's somebody who is employed by the government.
Why doesn't Nick Fury tell everyone what he's doing?
He's a spy.
Well, but he's the head of an organization called
SHIELD.
Yeah,
he's a spy. We already know that he's going to do his own thing.
Okay, that's fair.
But that's your role model. That is true,
but he's also the head of an organization that looks over things, a clandestine organization. And S.W.O.R.D. is similar, I guess. It's still being run probably by Nick Fury. So Hayward is a bad guy, and I agree with that. But in his own eyes, he's not. And I like that about a bad guy. So I just wanted to touch on him a little bit.
I agree with that.
And then Monica is asked, she's taken into the theater, which I'm surprised they only used this theater set once here. Like, I thought they would have... It's a gorgeous little theater. They only use it once. She talks to a Skrull, and she's like, "We're going to take you up in outer space to meet an old friend of your mother's." It's a he. So that's why we're assuming it's Nick Fury. Do you have any other thing to add to that?
No, you got it.
Great. And then we go to our final credit sequence.
Which
here.
I had some credit. Friends I talked with this weekend, and I was talking there. They loved the show, and I go, "What'd you think of the second post credit?" Like, "What do you mean second?" I go, "You stopped after the first one." He's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Hey, I had to go back home and didn't realize there was a second clip."
That's you know what I miss about theaters? Watching a Marvel movie and watching all the people stand up after.
Where are you going
for the credits? Like, what? This has been 10 years of Marvel.
Yes, you got to stick around for Avengers Endgame after 10 minutes of credits to hear a couple of hammer sounds.
Oh yeah, that one. That's a bummer. But you do miss out on the great one of Captain America saying, "So you expected?"
Yeah, that was great.
that's a great one. Patience. So yes, Wanda is. We have this great shot from like flying through the mountains and the forest, and then a couple shots of that. And then
where do you think this is at?
Long tracking shot. I don't know. Sokovia is an interesting thought, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know either.
We get this long tracking shot of a drone shot, or it could be CGI. Jerry thought it might be CGI.
I think everything in there was fake.
But it flies. So there's a moment when it goes from either one shot to the other or fake to real, because the camera kind of shakes a little bit. It looks a little unsteady when it goes from the drone shot to following Wanda walk inside to the cabin to kind of curling the corner to see her astral projection. I did like the idea that she's sitting outside holding the teacup and it's empty, and then she has to walk inside and fill it up. Like, why wouldn't she just leave the teacup inside?
Is she even real?
It's a good point.
Obviously, we go inside and we see Wanda as a astral projection, very similar to Doctor Strange, and how she's seeing her in two spots, and she's supposedly stronger than the Sorcerer Supreme. So when we saw Doctor Strange do it, we saw his real body sleeping while his mind was doing his astral projection at night. And here we're seeing Wanda, if she's in fact in two places at once while both are awake, or if the one of her walking around getting the tea is just an illusion. And if it is an illusion, as my wife was saying, she's like, for who? Who's watching this that would need to see that illusion? So I don't think it is an illusion, because it would be done for no reason other than maybe she's that powerful that she can actually be doing one over here and being relaxed over here. But while she is reading the Darkhold and testing all this, we hear the boys yelling for help, and that's how we leave the show.
Is that, do you think that the boy's yelling for help, is they're out there, or is that in her mind?
I think it's real.
Okay.
And I think what's going to happen, because of how they have to film these things and how fast kids grow, is if we do see these two kids again played by these two actors, I don't actually see that happening. I think they're going to get aged up to the teenage versions, which will then lead us towards, as we've discussed, how they're part of the Young Avengers, a different team of characters. So we'll see that happen. I'd be surprised if we see these two kid actors again, but we might. But I don't think so. But we might. But I don't think so.
Way to cover your bases.
Yes.
Scoop confirmed. So that is the episode. End. That is the season. Quick question. Well, maybe not a quick question, but what were the commercials all about? And what were the two actors in the commercial?
That did not. Now, again, they never told us they were going to be any theory. We jumped to the theory. And by again, we, a collective human conscious as a group, we've chosen to do this. We assumed that they were her parents. And then when we learned they weren't the parents, we thought, well, maybe there'd be an answer. And there wasn't. It was just something done to show us as part of this show. We never really did see anything as far as anybody editing this footage. You know, we've heard a song saying that it was Agatha all along, but I don't think it was Agatha. I think it was Wanda doing it and putting this out. We don't know why. We'll find out a little bit more, hopefully, because next week, or this week, I should say, there is a making-of show of the WandaVision, which we will not be doing a podcast on, by the way. But
no, we're taking a break, a one-week break. I also bring up this commercial thing because I thought about this. The commercials, if Wanda's creating them, right, because the way she creates her sitcoms, the sitcom life from the shows she watched, but she's watching these shows on DVD, so there's no commercials. So where is she getting the commercial influences?
When she was in the prison watching the Brady Bunch on the TV monitor, or when she was at the Avengers compound watching television there.
Maybe. They're not showing old-ass commercials, though, during the television nowadays. Like, I can't turn on the TV and watch a commercial for, I don't know,
I think there was stuff. A different time. You never know. That's a good point. We'll see.
But that was just is there any other things that you didn't think we answered or the show didn't answer?
I'm looking at my notes, and I believe we kind of covered it all.
The missing person, we feel like that was kind of answered.
Well, I think we're going to – well, yeah. We'll see. I was happy with it having this discussion, even though I realized it got a little heated in the middle there.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But it was like, you know, I was picking at stuff like that. But I think even as we were picking at it, because again, it's not perfect. It's not my favorite episode out of it, but I think it's a good solid ending to the show. I think we brought our own baggage to it. And I think they also dropped a couple bags themselves when we discussed it. So
yeah, the Pietro bag is
until it isn't. Until we're another movie passes.
And then
this.
If they do that, if they end up doing something with it, great. If they don't, then it's.
I think they will.
I hope so too. And I will say that if you listen to our podcast before, we always get heated. That I always want to connect everything that the MCU has ever done and the Marvel TV shows. And Jerry's always like, "You always want this. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be a thing. Stop getting it up." And that's
one of your dreams, Joel? Let me just step on that dream.
That is a podcast thing. Obviously, we had the Jarvis appearing in Endgame from Agent Carter, but other than that, there has been zero connections to the movies and the TV show. But when it happens, when one of our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors appears in one of the movies or the TV shows, I will have one word: vindication.
That's three words. So Mr. Pierce from our Get Pierce segment, I'm not gonna do the sound effect, he just sent me something as we're doing this, that Josh Sandberg, who played the director of S.W.O.R.D., the villainous head, is actually the son of NPR's own Susan Sandberg.
That's where that's going to end, isn't it?
Yes, he said that's Susan Sandberg, so I guess well, she's somebody in NPR. So
the
thank
last
you,
name
Ed,
of Hayward,
for that information.
The last name of Hayward, there is a producer of the show who has of WandaVision has the last name of Hayward. I think it's like Chuck Hayward.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right, thank you guys for listening on this journey of WandaVision. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it didn't. Well, hey, let us know. Tell me if you liked the ending or if you didn't like the ending. Do you have any opinion at all? Step up, say something. Was I too harsh this episode, or was I not harsh enough? Let us know. Where can they get in touch with us, Joel?
Facebook.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast. Email BennettBrothersPodcast@gmail.com. Twitter @BennettBrosPod.
What about Patreon?
What about it? To patreon.com/Bennett Brothers Podcast to become a patron and get some mini cast, all for your donation.
Should we record another mini cast right now?
We can.
All right. We'll record one so that'll be ready for you guys to become patron members and hear this next podcast, what craziness it's going to be.
Sounds great.
I haven't even heard it yet, and it sounds great. Mm-hmm. I haven't even recorded it yet, it sounds great. We will be back with not only Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I'm guessing we probably should have to do a podcast in March at some point. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's a 4-hour cut of Justice League coming out in a few weeks.
I think we said we were going to do that.
I think we have to do it.
That's fine.
Be fun. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. I'm Jerry.
I'm Joel. We'll talk to you next time.